I'd ask if you would to get your Bibles out and turn them over to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37 is where we'll be for the entire lesson this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37. It's really good to be with you all. It wasn't that long ago I got to visit, so I'm thankful to be back again to see you all. Lord willing, we will be traveling back tomorrow morning to go back up to Pennsylvania, but it's been good to see you all and to get to visit. Where we are right now are actually meeting in a parking garage, of all places, is where we're at. We're in the hunt for a new meeting space because our other meeting space kicked us out and they won't let us back in. So we're in the process of finding a new meeting space. So if you all will be praying for us on that front. But it is certainly good to worship with you all and to get to sing together. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 37, looking at the Valley of Dry Bones this morning. This might be a lesson that you're familiar with. It might be the story that you've heard often whenever you were growing up, going through kids' Bible classes, which, if you ask me, it's a very good lesson to teach children. It's actually kind of a creepy story, really, whenever you read it in the context and think through what's happening. But there are some ageless lessons that we get from this story that I want us to take the time to look at this morning. Go ahead and start reading with me in Ezekiel 37 in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. We'll stop there for now. My plan for this morning is to just walk through the text. We'll look at 11 through 14 in just a second, and then make a few applications, and the lesson will be yours and mine. Verse 1 and 2 kind of lays out the situation for us, as Ezekiel has already seen many great visions in the book of Ezekiel, if you're at all familiar with it. He has seen a lot of cool things, but to this point, he's not seen anything quite like this. As the hand of the Lord is upon him, Ezekiel is taken down in this middle of the valley, and it is filled with bones. Can you envision this in your mind? I've seen deer carcasses and different types of bones before, but can you imagine an entire valley of bones? And the vision doesn't stop there in verse 1. He goes on to describe for us that these aren't just bones. These are very dry bones in verse 2. And God causes him to walk and to pass round about them. And as he looks at them, he sees how dry they are. The point of emphasizing how dry these bones are is to show how long these bones have been there. This is not just a recent event. This is not just carcasses or people that had just recently died in this valley. This is representing a very long time of death and decay that these bones have been here. That is the emphasis behind the dryness of the bones. If you're Ezekiel, I don't know about you, I would be terrified at this point. Some of us don't like to see things like that. Some do, but I doubt Ezekiel did. He had seen a lot up until this point. And so here's the situation before him, and the question comes in verse 3, which I find very interesting. God looks at him, and he says, Son of man, can these bones live? What an odd question to ask somebody. Now, before we read and understand Ezekiel's answer to this question, if you were placed at the Valley of Dry Bones, what would your answer be to that? I can tell you what mine would be. It would be, no, these bones cannot live. They're as dry as ever, Lord. There is no possible way these bones could ever have life. But I love what Ezekiel says instead. Oh, Lord God, you know. You know what he's basically saying? He's saying, I don't know. But God, you know. And again, it's not a yes or no. But it's a faith and a trust in God, in His ability, and in His power to do something about it. What an excellent response that he gives. We'll draw some application from that in just a few minutes. Well, in comes, of course, the command. It's one thing for God to ask him this question. God's about to give Ezekiel a command in verses 4 through 6. He tells him to prophesy over the bones. By the way, this is a helpful text to see that prophesying does not always mean telling the future. It does not always mean predicting something that's going to happen down the road. Prophesying, another helpful word we can use for that is preach. Proclaim, tell the message is the idea. Same idea sometimes with the prophets we read about in the New Testament. They will do some telling of the future, but they will also do some preaching. Prophesy, and he says, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God, of course, says that I'm going to cause breath to enter you so that you may come to life. I'm going to put sinews on you, put flesh in you, cover your skin, and this is important, put breath in you that you may come alive. Did you notice why God's doing this at the end of verse 6? So that you may know that I am the Lord. Look out for that phrase in the rest of the story. And so what an odd command. Put yourself again in the shoes of Ezekiel. For starters, you would be curious to know whether these bones could live in the first place. And when God says, can these bones live? I would be tempted to say no. And now on top of that, he wants you to talk and preach and prophesy to these dry bones? What an odd command. But verse 7 is very clear. You see the obedience of two people. The obedience, number one, of Ezekiel. He prophesied as he was commanded, it says. And he says, as I prophesied, what happened? The noise came. Can you imagine this creepy noise of the bones like rattling together and coming bone to its bone? And in verse 8, he looks, the sinews were on them. I think for the longest time when I read this story, I just imagined them just coming to life immediately. No. Now there's this like creepy little flesh part that's on them, but it's really not their flesh yet. It's just the sinew. And then the flesh grows over them. And then the skin covers them. But there's an emphasis at the end of verse 8 that there's no breath in them. They're just a body at this point. There's no life. They've just been put back together. But in verse 9, God says, you prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. And as he did in verse 10, the breath comes in, they stand on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Does this remind you of anything else? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Genesis 2. When the Lord God forms man out of the dust of the ground and breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living being. There is no life in someone unless God puts his spirit in them. And that is the point here. God may be able to restore Israel, but until he puts his spirit back in them, they will have no life in the eternal way. That, of course, is what they will be longing for. Ezekiel listens. And not only does Ezekiel listen, I said there were two people who obeyed in verses 7 through 10. The bones listened too, didn't they? As God commanded, they listened. And so verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. There's that phrase again. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. I want you to see four things in the explanation that God gives telling Ezekiel that this represents the whole house of Israel, who's in captivity at this point because of their sin. And he tells them, number one, these people say that our hope has dried up. They say that there's no hope. Here we are in a land that isn't our own. Here we are far away from God. And there is no hope for us as Israel. Did you see the exact contrast there? They might say that, but what does God say? God says, you turn around and you say to them in verse 12, that I will open your graves. You say to them that I will cause you to come up out of those graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. They're focused on how there is no hope for themselves. They are those old, dry bones that seem to have no hope. And God says, you're looking at it wrong. You're putting your trust in yourself. I'm the one who can do something about this. Because in verse 13, when God will demonstrate that He can do this and that He has the power to, He says, then you will know that I am the Lord. When God puts His Spirit in someone, and when God brings them up out of the pit, out of the valley of dry bones, it's Him demonstrating His power. And He's going to put His Spirit in them. This is so important to see. Every time we see God deliver His people, which, by the way, is over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament, it's God demonstrating His power and His ability to save. Remember that. Let's look at three applications from this story. The first two kind of focus on Ezekiel, looking at his example as we examine what he did here. Number one, when we're faced with a seemingly impossible task, we must realize that God is in control. Have you ever been faced with something that you're not sure about? Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's somebody at work that you're presented with an opportunity to share the gospel with. Maybe it's just a hard life thing. Maybe it's a sickness, a death, an illness. Who knows? And as you're faced with that impossible task of how in the world does God expect me to handle this? What am I supposed to do? Here's what I love. Realize that God is in control and say, oh Lord God, you know. I don't know if I can handle this, but I know God can. I don't know if there's going to be hope left for whatever situation there is, but God knows. So I'm going to choose to put my trust in Him. The power is in God, not me. And that's what Ezekiel realized. It wasn't going to be him who could put the breath and put these people back together. It would be the Lord. When you're faced with an impossible task and your faith starts to waver, remember Ezekiel's words here. O Lord God, you know. Or as the man said to Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Number two, we must follow God's command even when we don't understand. I think it's safe to say that Ezekiel didn't know everything that was about to happen as he's encountered with the valley of dry bones. Wouldn't you think that's safe to say? And when God tells him to go and prophesy to these bones and to speak the word of the Lord to them, if it were me, I would be tempted to say, no, that doesn't make sense to me. Why should I do something like that, God? But as it said in verse 7, Ezekiel says, I prophesied as I was commanded. So powerful to see. Did you notice the result of Ezekiel's obedience, by the way? The bones followed as well. There was ever a moment where what God said didn't make much sense. It would be here. But Ezekiel listened and followed the commandment. Do you ever, in your daily reading of the Bible, come across things that confuse you? Come across commands that you don't fully understand? Maybe it's something specific to you or somebody else, or maybe it's specific sins that are condemned that don't make sense in your thinking. Remember who's in control. Remember that it's God. Follow even when you don't fully understand. That is what faith is. That is what true trust in the Lord looks like. Because the Lord has delivered us over and over again, even when we've not understood why we should follow His command. God has reasons, and we might not fully understand them, but we need to follow in the same way that Ezekiel did. This is so encouraging to see the amount of faith Ezekiel has. Number three, and lastly, and perhaps I believe is the exact point of this story to begin with. What we see as a valley of dry bones, God sees as a project for His glory. Did you notice what it said there in verse 11? It said, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. Is there anything in your life that you see as the valley of dry bones? Something that you look at and say, there is no way any life can come back into this situation or to come back into this specific thing. There's four things I want us to think about. And it might be the valley of dry bones in your life. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you look at your spouse. You've been married for some time now. Who knows? I don't know how long you've been married. And one day you finally look at your marriage and you go, there is nothing left here. There's not a whole lot of love. There's not any self-sacrifice. There's no patience. There's no kindness. There's none of that stuff we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. My marriage has dried up and there's no more hope left for it. Do you maybe feel that way in your marriage? The question is, of course, in the context here, what are you going to do about it? Are you continuing to put your trust and your faith in yourselves to help your marriage? Or are you going to put your trust in God and put your trust in His love and in His ability to help you all be selfless the way that you should in your marriage? A marriage problem is a sin problem, brethren. We got to fix it. We got to put our trust in the Lord. If you see your marriage in the valley of dry bones, you need to get help. Get help today. That's what these elders are here for, by the way. This local group of elders are here to help you and your family. Don't see your marriage as a valley of dry bones. See it as an opportunity for God to work and to help you all get back up and be this body that He's talking about. Maybe it's your church family that you see this way. Maybe it's something in the local church that you see as a valley of dry bones. It might not be here, and from what I can tell, I don't think it is. But this is an important point to consider. If you look over at Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3 for this point will be helpful. Because as John, of course, Jesus is giving him the vision there that he writes for us in Revelation. And there are seven different churches that John will write to in Revelation. And in chapter 3, there's this church in Sardis. And in chapter 3 and verse 1, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This church in Sardis, there's a number of them here that Jesus says are dead. They might have a name for themselves that they are alive, but they are dead. There are few who haven't soiled their garments, as he says in verse 4. But you see, a church that sees itself as dead very well might have a few people in it who are alive. Stop focusing on the dead, but focus on what you can do. And if you're somebody who sees yourself as a dead member of the Lord's local body, what does Jesus say those people need to do there in verse 3? They need to repent. They need to change their minds, change their intent, their purpose. That's what the word repent means. So if you're somebody who's contributing, maybe, I don't know, to the deadness of a local church, you need to repent of that. Put your trust in God. Learn, look, and see what you can do to help your local church be alive, as many are in verse 4, as he says, have not soiled their garments, but they are worthy. Put your trust in the Lord. Number three, maybe you're the person that's at the Valley of Dry Bones. Maybe you look at your life and you just see this massive pile of very dry bones. Maybe it's some particular sin that you cannot seem to kick. You look at it and you say, there's nothing I've been able to do this for my entire walk with Jesus. Maybe you feel broken. My question to you is, if you are the one in the Valley of Dry Bones, are you tired of relying on yourself? Because the ageless lesson that we learn in Ezekiel 37 is that God is the one who can put life back into you. Stop putting trust in yourself and start putting your trust in God to put life in you. That's the problem when we rely on self. Have you ever seen this theme throughout the scriptures, by the way? Of God taking people we would have never picked, people who were at the bottom of the Valley of Dry Bones, and putting them back together and saving them. Have you seen that theme through scripture? Maybe you've seen it in David. Maybe you've seen it in someone like Mary. You've seen it ultimately in Jesus Christ when he was crucified and then resurrected from the dead. You see it in the 12 apostles, 12 men that you and I would have never picked to be the ones who go into the world and spread the gospel. And yet in each and every one of them, they were the Valley of Dry Bones. And God put them back together. He put his spirit in them. And he used them for his glory and for his purposes. Isn't that powerful? God loves to do that. He loves to use people to demonstrate his own glory. Did you see that over and over again in Ezekiel 37? Why was God doing those things? Why was he putting his spirit? Why was he building those people back together so that they will know that I am the Lord? God can use your life to demonstrate his glory and his power to save. Why won't you let him? Or maybe it's someone else. Someone else, you look at their life, you look at the way that they're living it, and you know what you say about them? Their bones are dried up and their hope has perished. That person will never obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That person will never do what's right. They're dried up. Well, there were some similar things said about a group of people called the Samaritans. And you know what Jesus said about those people in John chapter 4 whenever the disciples came back after he had had that encounter with the woman at the well? Jesus said to his apostles in John 4, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." He wasn't talking about Galilee. He wasn't talking about Nazareth or Jerusalem. He was talking about Sychar, a city of Samaritans, a place he would spend 2 or 3 days with. We all have different prejudice. We all have different ways we look at certain people who are involved in specific types of sins. When was the last time you tried to go to them with the gospel? It's not up to you and me to say that they're the Valley of Bones dried up and they will never believe. You see, God, as we said, he loves it when the odds are stacked against him. He loves to use people like that to demonstrate his power and his glory and his ability to save. Oh, Lord God, you know. You don't know if that person will be saved. I don't know. But God does. Why not turn it over to him? It's not your power that's saving them anyways. It's God's. Don't say that about anybody. Take the gospel to them, regardless of how dried up you think their life is. That's not up for me and you to decide. God does this to demonstrate his glory and his power to save. I hope that's powerful to you because it's powerful to me. And it inspires me to want to go out and bring others to God so that he can demonstrate how wonderful and powerful he is. And I hope that if you're listening today and you identified yourself as somebody who's in the valley of dry bones, I hope you can see from this passage just how much good God can do in your life. In Romans chapter 6, if you're someone who has identified yourself as someone at the bottom of the valley of dry bones, in Romans chapter 6 in verse 4, Paul will say, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." You see, as you have sinned in your life, you are dead. The person who sins will die. That's also in Ezekiel, by the way. But God promises, if you will put your trust in him, if you will mimic the same way that Jesus was put to death and pick up your cross and carry him, crucify yourself, and be buried in the waters of baptism, verse 4 says you will be raised to walk in what? In newness of life. And God will put his Spirit in you. Don't see yourself as the valley of dry bones any longer. See it as an opportunity for God to be glorified. You have an opportunity to do that today if you'd like. To be baptized. To no longer be those dry bones, but be the new spirit that God can put in you. Or maybe you're somebody today who already is a Christian, and you have one of these problems that we've talked about that you need to fix and do better with. You can get help today by your family. We can pray with you. We can help you. The elders can give you direction. If we can help you in any way, won't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?